Yeah, I like to be the first to say good morning. So there, it's done. It is Monday, the 14th of October, and welcome to another night shift around Australia on the Triple M network. Good to be with you. I hope your weekend was good. Did you do anything interesting? Did something happen that we need to know about? Give us a call, 133353. Jess saw the movie The Joker, thought it was just fabulous. I'll get your review a little bit later, Jess, if you could. Simon saw it last week. He said it was one of the best movies he's ever seen. So anyway, we'll look at that later this morning. Good to be with you. We've got a lot to go through this morning, lots to get through, lots to talk about. But I'd like to hear what's on your mind. If there's something that you think that we should be talking about that I don't bring to the table, you bring it. Bring it along. Would love to hear from first-time callers this morning. If you've never rung the program before, but you've always thought you should, well, make today your day. If you are an established member of the Night Shift family, we, of course, want to hear from you. But if there's something that is happening in the world and you'd like the rest of our audience to know about it and probably comment, this is the show that gives you that opportunity. 133353 is the telephone number. We are here for a long time and a good time. Once again, our youth seem to be going mad. And once again, I find myself asking the question, what's going on? What is going on? A 29-year-old man has died after he was allegedly assaulted on the Gold Coast. A Brazilian man, Ivan Sussin, 29 years of age, was allegedly punched outside a kebab shop. A man has died outside a kebab shop on Orchard Avenue in Surfers Paradise about 1 a.m. The attack so brutal, he was left in a coma for 12 days. According to the police, one of the men took a hot chip from a group and chaos ensued. This is over chips. CCTV footage shows this Brazilian man, Mr. Sussin, jumping into a fight and throwing a punch. He is then seen being punched in the face, causing him to fall to the ground, and he hits his head before losing consciousness. The 29-year-old was rushed to the Gold Coast University Hospital in a serious condition. He was in a coma for 12 days. He died on Friday. The two men involved in the fight allegedly ran from the scene before witnesses contacted police. One man has been charged with one count of grievous bodily harm, but was bailed for $50,000. Queensland police expect to upgrade the changes when he appears in court. I mean, it just over chips. Obviously, we'll find out more as this goes to court. And I'm not going to mention any names here of those who are accused. But apparently this fight took place over hot chips. I don't know. What do you make of it? 133353 is the telephone number. Now, a story has come to light over the weekend. And our home improvement expert, Simon Stevenson, brought this to my attention on Saturday. He said, mate, have a look at this. He said, this is madness. Construction workers could be going home on full pay if the mercury hits 28 degrees Celsius and humidity reaches 75%. Construction workers across Brisbane could get an extra 2 weeks' leave under a controversial union policy allowing them to stop work when the temperature hits 28 degrees and humidity reaches 75%. The policy has been taken up by 140 commercial contractors and subcontractors across southeast Queensland after a campaign by the Construction, Forestry, Maritime, Mining and Energy Union, including the $3.6 billion Queens Wharf project in Brisbane. Now, Simon said, mate, you're kidding. Simon's been on tools for 35 years. And he said, 75%. He said, there'd be parts of Australia in far north Queensland or the Northern Territory where it'd be like that every day. No work will be done. And it's going to send employers broke. So where the temperature is 28 degrees Celsius and humidity 75% or more after 3 hours from the commencement of a shift, There'll be an orderly cessation of work and preparations for safe completions of critical tasks underway. What the hell does that mean? It means people can walk off the job and get paid. Master Builders Queensland Chief Executive is Grant Galvin. And he said the hot weather policy was ripe for exploitation by the CFMEU. He said it'll create an occupational health and safety nightmare. He said it absolutely has the potential to cause more stoppages in Brisbane throughout next year. I've recorded a conversation with Simon. He's got some strong things to say about that, and I'll replay it a little bit later on. But if you are in the building game, is that ridiculous? Is 28 degrees a reasonable temperature in which to work? Or has the CFMEU just gone mad? This is going to send people broke. If you're in the building game, let me know, 133353. Will this follow on to other professions where people are working outside? Everything from traffic control through to whatever. If the union has success with this, is this going to have a huge national follow-on? And will we see people who work outside going home expecting to be on full pay when the temperature gets to 28 degrees? I don't know. What do you make of it? 133353 is the telephone number. Now, where is Australia's best fish and chips? A Townsville seafood store has taken out a national gong for Australia's best fish and chips. Tobin Fish Tales, their owners, Andrew and Renee Tobin, won the Australian Fish and Chips Award, which also recognises the promotion and support undertaken for Australian seafood alongside taste. Ms. Tobin said, "It's absolutely amazing and a complete surprise. We're really happy for a little shop in Townsville." Hello, folk in Townsville. Would you agree? Tell me about this fish and chip shop, Tobin Fish Tales, T-A-L-E-S. Ms. Tobin said her store promoted local Australian fishers and aimed to tell the stories of the people who caught the fish. Just, we had someone from Townsville who owned a fish and chip shop ring us. Now, I don't think it was this one. It might have been when you were on leave, because it wasn't that long ago. Anyway, do you have a fish and chip shop near you that is out of this world? Anyway, congratulations to Tobin's Fish Tales in Townsville. They've taken out the national gong for Australia's best fish and chips. I don't know how you judge it and how many were in the final. We might try and get onto them during the week, Jess. 133353 is the telephone number. Charles Tarby is the owner of Century 21 Australasia South Pacific. They had record auction clearance rates again this weekend, up on last week. Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide and Perth all enjoyed huge success at the beginning of this spring season, and Charles thinks the market is turning back in favour of the vendor. But I asked him, I've recorded a conversation with Charles, I've asked him a question about rental properties. I want to talk to you folks. If you are renting or looking to rent, how difficult is it? How difficult is it to secure a rental property? Give us a call on 133353. Charles has got six things that will help or hinder you. Two-thirds of tenants in Australia rent through a real estate agent, you see. And a national shortage of private rental housing is forcing tenants to impress the real estate agent to secure a property. And Charles says your application has to stand out from the other applications. It makes sense, doesn't it? An analysis of articles on leading online real estate sites identifies six aspects of interactions between the real estate agent and a potential tenant. And it's that sort of interaction that can affect a tenant's ability to secure a rental property. And the research reveals the power of the agent over the tenant. In a lot of cases, agents strongly stigmatize certain tenant characteristics during the property search. So how do agents assess tenants? I'd like to talk to you about your experience in trying to acquire a rental property. Do you believe there's discrimination out there? Of course there is. But it's very hard to spot. If an agent working on behalf of a landlord only wants a certain sort of person to rent that property. That's the person that's going to get the property. And if you look a certain way, or you have a pet, or you may not be the right age group, you may not be the right sex, it is very easy for an agent who is the middleman here, or the middle person, to discriminate against certain tenants. Now, 133353 is the telephone number. There isn't supposed to be discrimination, but of course there is. There's discrimination when you apply for a job. If an employer only wants a certain type, and I put that in air commas, in inverted commas, a certain type, that's the type that will get the job. It goes the same way when you're trying to rent a rental property. But here's the question, and we've talked about this before. In New South Wales, there was talk of introducing legislation that would make it illegal to discriminate against allowing someone to rent a property on the basis they had a pet. Because, you see, there is a rental shortage in New South Wales. And some tenants are being knocked back because they have a pet. You'll see the ads, no pets. Well, if you are the owner of a rental property, if you're a landlord, I believe you have the right to discriminate against pets. If I don't want my tenant to own a pet, that should be my prerogative. Are you with me? And I think the moment you start legislating and telling landlords who they can and can't have as tenants, people will stop investing in rental properties. And then the problem gets even worse. Discrimination in the rental world. Have you been part of it? Are you a landlord? Do you discriminate? You can be completely honest on this program and completely anonymous. And have you applied to rent a property? What sort of discrimination did you face? I'd like to hear. 133353. I'll talk to Charles Tarby, owner of Century 21, about that a little bit later on. I'm also going to talk to Phil Sylvester, who was a travel expert with World Nomads Association. That Australian dickhead, Nicholas Carr, you know the bloke that was filmed fly kicking a bloke off his motorcycle in Bali? And then he drunkenly rampaged around Seminyak, terrorising locals. Well, guess what? He's been sent to Kerakabokan prison. Nicholas Carr from Adelaide was refused home detention, even with a personal guarantee from his lawyer. A handcuffed and newly bearded Carr was transferred from Kuta Police Station to the infamous jail known as Hotel K, wearing shorts, T-shirt and rubber thongs. He faces a maximum sentence of 2 years and 8 months jail for assault and damage to property under Article 351 of Indonesian law. And over the weekend, the suspect was handed over to the prosecutors and they put him in jail. So, Aussies behaving badly overseas. What is it with Aussies? What is it with people, Jess, who go overseas, get a belly full of grog and carry on like complete knobends? What is it? Why do we do that? Why do so many Australians believe that they have the right to treat their hosts like crap? Now, I'm not saying it happens particularly in Bali, but gee, you hear about a lot of bad behaviour coming out of Bali. Is it because it's cheap to get there and it's cheap to consume alcohol? The alcohol is very inexpensive. And does that mean that cheap, nasty people are drawn there? I know I'm generalising, but you tell me. Why do we hear of so many reports of Australians behaving badly overseas? Maybe this will stand as an example. The Bali Nine drug mules, it didn't set an example. People are still smuggling drugs into Indonesia. If that didn't set an example, I don't know what does. Maybe this bloke will set an example. Nicholas Carr, the tradie from Adelaide. He could be in jail for over 2 years. But carrying on like a dick. Anyway, it's not my fault, Your Honour. I was under the influence of alcohol. Well, guess what? You're facing it now, Nicholas Carr. You're facing it now. 133353 is the telephone number. Look, there's a stack of other stuff I want to get to this morning, and we do get to a lot more stuff as the program rolls on, but I want to hear from you. Is there anything you would like to discuss with the rest of Australia? We are all ears. I'll give you the national weather forecast in just a moment, but let's get the show on the road. This is The Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M Network. 3. is the telephone number. It's Monday, the 14th of October. Just before I jump into calls, Jess, I just want to send out an important warning to pet owners. Sad thing happened over the weekend, Jess. My stepdaughter, Katie, who lives in the flat downstairs, has a little dog, Buddy. He's a little white Shih Tzu, and she's had him for about 12 years now. And he got a paralysis tick on Friday afternoon. He was fine on Friday morning. I took him for a walk, bouncing around, no problem. And I had a sleep Friday afternoon, and Nikki noticed that he was not himself. His back legs didn't seem right. We took him up to the vets, and yes, he had a paralysis tick, and he died the next day. He developed pneumonia, because when you're paralyzed, you can't swallow, and the saliva goes in their lungs instead of down in their tummies. We did everything we could. The thing is, Katie, who's away overseas for work, she told us that he had been next guarded. We thought he was covered. So it's not a 100% guarantee that some of these tick prevention medicines work. And we're coming into summer, and these paralysis ticks, Jess, they take no prisoners. And this little fella didn't make it. So can I just send out a warning to anyone that lives in an area where there are ticks this summer? Please go to your vet, do your research, and make sure that your dogs are protected. We've been next guarding our dogs ever since Next Guard was released onto the market, and luckily we've gotten through. Now, my border collie, when he was a tiny little fella, he got a tick, and we took him out to Rob Zammit, and they found, and the thing is, when we were checking Buddy's neck, or when they were checking Buddy's neck on Friday, no one could find anything. We suspected a tick because of his back legs. We took him up to the vet, and the vet found it straight away, so sometimes it's not easy to find, but they found it. But it was too late. Gee, it happens quickly. It happens really, really quickly. So please, a warning, as we come into summer and tick season, please, please make sure your pets are covered, because it happens so fast. 133353 is the telephone number. William, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Luke. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Very well, very well. I was a bit ticked to hear about this this conversation about the CFMEU, though. That's just rich.
It's, well, I work here in an air-conditioned studio, so I'm not one to comment. But Simon, who has been working on tools for 35 years, reckons it's going to send people broke, and he thinks Simon actually said to me, are we breeding a generation of soft cocks? That's what he said.
That's subtle. Yeah, that's right.
That's what
I think the power of the unions is getting a bit over the top now. I don't know who's in government in Queensland. Is it Labor or Liberals up there?
Well, it's Anastasia Palaszczuk. It's Labor.
Okay. Yeah, that sums it up then. Need to know who you vote for.
Do you work outside?
Yes, I do. I have my own business in Melbourne.
Yeah, what do you do?
I supply to the building industry. I have a temporary fencing and toilet business.
Right. And if workers, now this is happening in Queensland, but you watch the CFMEU, which is a very powerful union, they'll make this a national initiative. And the Master Builders Association have said it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy and an occupational health and safety nightmare. If this does go national, what's it going to do to the building industry if people can walk off the job and expect to still get paid when it hits 28 degrees?
Yeah, well, it does that in Melbourne on occasion, fair enough. I think it's way over the top. They always push for something high like this, and then they take the next step back because they'll be pushed back by the bosses that run businesses. But the problem is they're supposed to be protecting the jobs of the workers that pay for their union fees, and they'll be culling out their own members by doing this because the members will be sacked.
Well, look, as I said,
companies will go broke.
I'd like to hear from anyone who works outside for a living. Is 28 degrees unreasonable? I think in other states, it's a stop work at 35. Is that correct?
Yeah, 35 in Melbourne.
Yeah, 35. And it wouldn't get to over 35 often in Melbourne.
Oh yeah, we get a week of it every now and then.
Okay, but is 28 too much?
28's ridiculous. Yeah, look, 28's even 35. Like I grew up in the country, up on the Murray River, and we'd often have temperatures of 45 degrees for weeks on end, and we'd think nothing of it. We'd just do our thing, do everything we had to do.
Is it unsafe?
Oh. It probably would be now, looking back on it. If people have got a high blood pressure, they certainly need to monitor what's going on. But I think the 28 degrees, that's just way over the top.
And are people entitled to still get paid if it gets to 28 degrees? At our place, Nikki, the Minister for War and Finance, she has her own little window cleaning business.
Yeah.
She can't work if it rains because people don't want her to. People don't want their windows cleaned in the rain. And by the way, doing the outside, getting up and down ladders in the rain's dangerous. So she doesn't work if it rains and she doesn't get paid.
Yep. Yep.
She doesn't get paid if it rains.
It's a harsh reality, isn't it?
She works for herself.
Yeah, that's right. Now, that's the difference. That's the difference in the end. When it's all said and done, if people start high and mighty on the union route, they're going to get stitched up because they're going to lose their jobs. People are not going to be employing. They'll cull their own work base over that time.
Yeah.
When it's really hot.
Yeah, all right. Well, you don't think it's a good idea and you're outside. You're in the business.
Oh, it's a shocker. It's a shocker. Yeah, I work out in the rain. I have a site shed to when it rains, but we work out in the rain all the time. And some of my workers, they say to me, what do you do when it rains? I said, well, you get wet.
Yeah.
Let's get on with life, mate. You drive a truck and deliver the stock to sites and off you go.
Well, there you are. Listen, thanks so much for your call. Appreciate it.
Nice talking to you, Luke.
Yeah, nice talking to you too. You take care. 1-3-3-5. Oh, it's Matt. G'day, Matt. Sorry.
Hey, how you going, Luke? I'm sorry to hear about your dog.
Yeah, my daughter's dog. He was a dear little fellow. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? It happened so fast.
Well, I've never had a dog suffer that, but yeah, I've got a dog and I don't want him to suffer that.
It happened so fast. I mean, one moment he's okay, the next minute his back legs weren't working properly, and we thought, oh no. And our worst fears, it was a paralysis tick, and it just took him.
Yeah, the smallest thing.
So, yeah. Whereabouts do you live? Do you live where there are ticks?
I do, Lake Macquarie.
Yeah. Have you got dogs?
I do. I have my first and only dog.
Yeah, and do you make sure he's covered?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah. Look after her. Well, she's getting very old, but still look after her.
This tick prevention medicine is so expensive. I don't know how
it is.
I don't know how people who are on benefits or how elderly people can afford it. And without it, your pet will die if you live in those areas. It's so
expensive.
It is so expensive.
Yeah, yep.
Anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, thanks for your thoughts, Matt. What did you want to say?
I wanted to talk about the 28-degree walk-off.
Yep.
Yeah, I started off as a labourer in the mines. Not in the mines, sorry, as a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And you could wear basically two shorts. But then the sun cancer became the issue. So eventually the long longs came in.
Yes.
And the long longs that you get are generally cotton and quite heavy to wear. And if you wear them, especially in humidity, then you sweat your ass off.
But cotton's meant to breathe.
Yeah, but it sticks and...
Yeah.
But there are other things that they could put like in use. They're alternative fabrics you can use, and the long longs are an industry wide sort of preventative measure now.
Yeah.
So
you've got to wear all these extra garments now because of the sun cancer issue.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes you hot.
Oh, it does. It does. And it wasn't the same back in my day. But then I've got the skin cancer issues, so...
That's right. So is 28 degrees reasonable then?
I think 28 degrees is quite a comfortable temperature, but I don't wear long shirts and long pants and work boots and helmets and gloves in that sort of temperature.
Mm. Oh, I don't know what the answer is then.
No.
The Master
no.
Builders Association is saying that this is going to cost a fortune.
It will. It will. It'll cost a fortune.
Mm. And I wonder if the CFMEU that's pushing for this are going to do their members a disservice by people losing their jobs.
Well, I think so.
Mm.
I think so, yeah. We have. I work in the mines currently.
Right.
And our shot firers, they have to wear long longs, and you see them, they suffer. They suffer because they're out on the ground in the pit, and they're working in 45 to 50 degrees.
Mm.
And it'll be a big slow up for the mining industry. If guys are walking off the job at 28 degrees, then they won't work anything but night shift.
That's the question. Where will it end?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, listen, thanks for your thoughts and thanks for your concern about the dog.
Okay, cheers.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Bye-bye. 133353 is the telephone number. Sydney today, 23 degrees. Brisbane, 26, partly cloudy. Townsville, 30 today, mostly sunny. Adelaide, 20 and partly cloudy. Melbourne, 23. Hobart, 23, a late shower or two. And Perth, 21, and a morning shower or two. Well, did you follow the Bathurst 1000 today? Scott McLaughlin, King of the Mountain, for the first time in his career. It was a Bathurst 1000 of extraordinary drama. It came right down to the wire when a safety car gave McLaughlin some breathing room with just three laps remaining. His rivals Shane Van Gisburn, James Cup were breathing down his neck, but he got there. He said, "I can't believe I won the bloody Bathurst 1000. Our correspondent at Bathurst is Chris. He was there for us last year as well. He joins us now. G'day, Chris. How are you, mate?
Yeah, mate. Oh, I'm fantastic.
Are you happy with the result?
Well, I'm a Holden man, but Scotty definitely deserved that one today. However, and I'm not taking anything away from Scotty's win, you know that whole thing now with the safety car is completely under investigation?
Take us through it.
So, basically what happened was the safety car came out lap 135. Coulthard slowed right down to the point he was actually, I think it was just over 40 seconds a lap slower than Scotty was, which is his teammate, if people don't know. Jamie and Scotty elected to go into the pits to do the last splash and dash for the end of the race, and it completely put everyone out of contention except Scotty, pretty much. Everyone was just left to chase him.
So is the safety car, are the safety car rules fair or not fair?
No, the safety car rules are fair, but the safety cars can also be very, very cruel. It can be a very cruel sport. They can come at the wrong time. So today, for instance, Tander and Gisbergen, they were on track to basically do a last-minute splash and dash if we'd gone green, and chances are they could have easily taken the win. Because Scotty, Jamie, just about every other car needed to come in for pretty hefty fuel load. But as soon as that second last safety car came out, that just completely stuffed their strategy.
Well, was the crowd happy?
Crowd was very happy. Always is. Doesn't matter who wins. The crowd is always happy. I mean,
no, they're not. They weren't happy when Jim Richards was given the win. When was it, 1992?
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he from the dais, he said, "You're a pack of arseholes." Remember that?
I joked about that with Jim actually when he signed my Monaro earlier in the year.
Yeah, I'll never forget it. The race was stopped in the rain. There were a couple of crashes, and the red flag came out. And as he was leading, he was declared the winner, and the crowd were not happy.
1992, yeah.
Well, I think it was 92.
Distraught, young-looking Scaife in the pits didn't know what was going on, and all of a sudden they were told they won, and you could see his whole demeanour completely changed, but he still didn't believe it until he actually saw Jim with him.
Yeah, anyway, these things can happen. These things can happen. So, basically, we're talking three cars. There's three makes.
Yep.
Holdens, which are the Opals. You've got the Ford Mustangs and the Nissans.
That's it. Yep, Nissan Altima.
Yeah. Now, once again, I'm talking about my mate Simon, who watched the race from Woe to Go. I had a sleep in the afternoon, so I missed most of it. I got to watch the finish, but I said to Simon, "I don't relate to the Bathurst 1000 anymore. I don't really know any of the drivers anymore. I don't relate to the brands of cars anymore. And Simon said, no. He said, it's still a bloody great race. He said, it's a fantastic track. It's a great contest. He's trying to gee me up to get back into it, but I've lost a bit of interest.
Oh, you need to come up here, mate. Once you get up here, it just completely revives. I mean, I haven't watched a lot of this season, mainly because it's just been the Scotty Mac show the whole way through. But like when you get up here, I mean, it's just a whole different atmosphere.
Yeah. I'm not convinced.
I'll get Paddy to bring you up.
Anyway.
Actually, when Wally found me the other night, he was actually saying he was going to try and get Paddy up over the weekend, but mission unaccomplished, it seems.
Yeah, no, I think he was doing other things elsewhere. But tell me, did any of the people that we introduced you to on the radio turn up?
Yes, yeah. Stuart turned up the other night and Wally turned up, and Wally actually bought probably close to 1,000 ring pulls. So we're very grateful for Wally.
Now, tell me about the ring pull thing again. You're collecting ring pulls because they're pure aluminium because they make prosthetic limbs.
Correct, yes.
How did all that go?
Well, once I put it out on your show and put it out on the Bathurst Campus page on Facebook, we ended up with 3/4 of a Coles shopping bag, 4 of them. Which the kids that were counting them stopped counting them after 6,000, and there was still probably about another third to go. So the whole mountain has absolutely smashed it out this year. It's been excellent.
So where do they go now?
They will go back with one of our campers back to their place to go with the rest of the collection they've already got there. And the take-up the whole town is doing, which is basically the Wagga area and Batlow. And from there, they'll be sent off to whichever, I'm not exactly sure, but whichever how it's handled with the charity for them to be melted down.
And was there a Guinness Book of Records challenge as well? For the most ring pulls?
Not that I'm aware of.
I thought that was the Guinness Book of Records were getting involved with it as well. Maybe try that next year.
Oh, I never heard about that, but if that was the case, I reckon we smashed it.
Yeah, I heard there was going to be a Guinness Book of Records challenge for the most ring pulls. But listen, if it wasn't, let's do it for next year.
That's it, yeah. That's exactly right. And I'll tell you what, Lukey, I'm staying on the track right now at Metal Grate, and the hill has never looked cleaner after a race.
Hmm.
Like, there's a few chairs and a couple of tarps and things like that left around, but... what they actually did this year, they put a kasha can up on top of the hill, and all the kids, probably from about maybe 6 years old up to about 15, have been going around all day collecting everyone's cans, and I can't believe how clean the hill is.
I tell you what, there's quite a few full cans left behind too. Did you know that? My old next-door neighbour, Kerry was his name. He was a builder, top bloke. He had a box trailer. I remember one Bathurst, he said, you want to come up the mountain with me, on Monday. I said, no, why? He said, I'm going scabbing. I said, what do you mean? And the amount of campsites that leave behind boxes of beer, it was unbelievable.
Lots of things get left behind. The whole thing, I don't believe it myself, but if it's true, it's true. If it's not, it's not. But apparently a lot of people say, whatever you don't want to take home, leave it behind and the Aboriginals will come and get it. Like I'm talking camping chairs, tents, full marquees are being left up here in some years. It's incredible the amount of stuff that does get left behind on the Monday afternoon.
They leave behind good things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I left a tent here last year, actually.
Why? Why wouldn't you take your tent with you?
Well, it had served me for 8 consecutive Bathursts. It was starting to get a bit long in the tooth, and I just picked up a brand new one of those instant up tents. So it had served its purpose and it's done its time.
So they leave it behind for people who need it?
Yep, pretty much.
Wow. I knew that lots of things got left behind, but I didn't realise. I just assumed it was people who were too lazy to pack up.
That can be part of it too. Like, it was actually hammering down rain the Monday morning after the race last year. So that was part of leaving the tent here as well. But there was nothing wrong with it.
Okay. Tell me, have you noticed a great police presence at this year's race?
Huge. Same as always. The roaming death squads of about 10 or 15 to a group. But They've all been pretty good. However, I almost got myself arrested twice yesterday. Because, well, Wobbly Boot Bowling Club does have their annual dress-up day on the Saturday. This year was emergency service personnel and military personnel. And I dressed up as a cop. And I started handing out tickets to people, such as when people were slipping off the hill, giving them tickets for sustained loss of traction, or when they were a bit of a beer gut hanging out, oversized load, things like that. Yeah,
and
in the spirit of fun.
Yeah, and did the police here. And did the police actually speak to you?
Well, at one point, I saw two walking past, and I went up and just started walking next to them, like not doing anything, and quote-unquote, don't be a dickhead, mate. This is a very quick way to end your weekend. And I was very tempted at that point to turn around and say, well, I have been here since Saturday, so I think I deserve it.
Wow. Random breath testing everywhere?
Haven't seen much of it, but have you seen the report? I think it was from Thursday that the police put out. 212 speeding offences in one day.
Wow.
Yeah, so people aren't learning to listen.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, well, I'm glad you had another great weekend at Bathurst, Chris, and have a safe trip home, and well done with the aluminium ring pulls, which are pure aluminium, apparently, and they go towards making prosthetic limbs. Well done.
Thanks, mate. And, yeah, I'll speak to you again soon, surely.
Look forward to it, Chris. Thanks for your reports this week. 133353 is the number. The Night Shift, Triple M. Yeah, good morning. Welcome to Monday, October 14. Sydney today heading for highs of around 23 degrees. Brisbane 26 and partly cloudy. Townsville 30, mostly sunny. Adelaide 20 and partly cloudy. Melbourne 23. Hobart 23, a late shower or two. And Perth 21. Morning showers. Now, Dan, I thank you for waiting on.
Hello.
Hello, Dan. Thanks for waiting.
Luke, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thank you. Where are you?
I'm in Melbourne tonight, buddy.
Okay, what are we talking about?
I just wanted to raise 2 points. First, before you mentioned about the rental and how they're discriminating against people with pets, but I totally agree with you, mate. It's entirely up to a homeowner if they decide that they don't want to have a tenant with pets.
Absolutely. Now, can I just say, if it was a reasonable pet, I would say yes. Now, at the moment, our flat, we're renting to my stepdaughter. We're trying to help her out. But we've had tenants in there for 12 years. And we've had three sets of tenants who have had cats. Did not have a problem. But we had, when it was vacant, we had one set of tenants, a husband and wife, apply for the flat, and they had these two huge dogs, completely inappropriate for where they were. So they politely weren't successful.
That's my point. These people, pet ownership's about responsibility. And if you can't be a responsible pet owner to give your pet a home it deserves and needs, then you shouldn't be getting your pet. In other words, if you don't live in a house yourself that you can accommodate your pet, don't get the pet.
I could not agree with you more. And I hope my son today listens to the podcast. Jess, can you please make sure this call is on our podcast today? My son, about a year ago, decided he was going to move into a flat with his girlfriend. You with me?
Yep.
And I said to him, he's renting, and he was paying a lot of rent. I thought he was paying too much rent. But anyway, that's what they wanted to do. And I said, whatever you do, son, do not get a dog. We've got two dogs here. You can walk them and spend time with them, but do not get a dog because it's going to make life very difficult for you if you have to move and get another rental property. What do you think he went and did?
You should have told him to get one because then he wouldn't have got one.
We got, yes, he went and got one. This huge thing. It's a golden retriever poodle, and it's a beautiful dog. But he's got this. So anyway, he's moved. The relationship's busted up. So he's moved back in with us, and we've got the dog.
Yeah,
and we've got the dog, and and you try and say to young kids, a dog is a 15-year commitment if you're lucky.
Yes.
16, maybe.
Yes. 10 at the minimum.
Yeah. Yeah, but. Getting back to rental properties, as a landlord, I would want the right to be able to say yes or no to pets. And the moment you take that away from landlords, who's going to want to be a landlord? And then once again, people won't be buying investment properties and there'll be another rental shortage.
Yeah. I mean, people work very hard to buy these houses and you know, they've often worked all their lives to have to be able to afford these investments. I believe they've got every right to decide who can and can't live there.
Yeah, well, they want to make it law in New South Wales. They've talked about it and I don't think it's right.
No, I don't either.
Mm.
The other thing I was going to mention just quickly, Luke, is you brought up earlier about the workplace. They wanted to bring in the knocking off early. Who was it? The unions. Unions wanted to bring it. Yeah. In my experience of working with unions, they're often done worse than they've done good.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. A quick example. Many years ago, it was late 90s, early 2000s, I worked in the car manufacturing plant. I won't mention any names. And there was a bit of a mild sexual harassment case against six or seven guys. Long story short, there was a girl that worked there on casual labour hire. And she was great. Everyone loved her. She got along with everyone. She was like one of the boys. And, you know, because she was only casual labour hire, she knew her contract would come to an end eventually.
Mm.
Anyway, it was her birthday one night. Everyone was working night shift. So, and at the time, the full Monty had come out. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of hype about the full Monty. So a couple of guys decided to get together and say, hey, let's give her a bit of a, you know, bit of a show for her birthday. So they did a bit of a dance and a bit of a show for her. No one got naked. No one actually physically touched her. They just did a dance for her. Well, she was clapping. She was loving it and going right along with it. But she was taking notes. And every night she'd knock home and go home from work. She had a little black book that she wrote her entire shift and everything that happened in her shift. When her contract came to a finish, she approached the company with this little black book and said, I want X amount of money or I'm taking all these claims further.
Mm.
Income, and this is where the sexual harassment claim came about.
Yeah.
So they basically, these six or seven guys that were involved in this, they got said basically their jobs were suspended without pay pending an investigation. The union stepped in, as unions do, because that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to step in and protect your job. The union stepped in and advised all these guys to go seek legal advice. Go speak to lawyers. This is not looking good for you guys. And, you know, this was a full-time job in a car manufacturing plant. These guys have been there for, some of them, 15, 20 years.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
So the union advised all of these guys in a board meeting to go seek legal advice. We might not be able to help you. You need to seek legal advice. And they all got lawyers. They all got together. They all got lawyers. And because they got lawyers, the actual vehicle, the vehicle manufacturer, I won't mention names, they decided stuff them. That's it. If they want to send lawyers against us, we're going to put our foot down. They're done. They're finished. They basically all got the sack for the sexual harassment claim. The thing was, the actual company didn't want to sack them. They wanted to deal with the female first, get her claim sorted, and get her sort of out the picture. Then they were going to bring all the guys back and resume them to normal duty.
Mm.
But the union told these guys, go get legal advice, get lawyers, and that actually they shot themselves in the foot by getting lawyers.
I'd like to ask the question across Australia this morning. 133353, I've never worked under a union. Many, many years ago, radio announcers came under the Actors Equity Union, but they never did anything for me. I never once saw an Actors Equity rep, and so I punted them, and you know, I've never been involved with a union in my life. But I want to ask the question across Australia, has a union helped you or hindered you? Unions do a lot of good. They have improved conditions in workplaces over the years astronomically. They've helped with pay rises, but have they sometimes been a hindrance? Have they, for example, the car manufacturing industry that you're talking about, Dan, are the unions partly to blame for that shutting down through insisting on unrealistic wages? I'm just asking. Give us a call, 133353. In your work experience, have you worked under a union? Were they a help or a hindrance? Give us a call. It'll be interesting to see what we get, Dan.
Yeah, that's it, mate.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much for calling.
No worries. You have a good one. And that last guy that rang up, God, he's doing it tough, isn't he?
Yeah, Tony.
Feel sorry for him.
From Hervey Bay. Yeah,
the poor bloke, he's got his hands full.
And there's a lot of people like that out there that you and I don't know about.
Yeah, I mean, many of us go to a cafe in the morning and we complain about our coffee getting made wrong. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you hear stories like that, and it puts everything into perspective.
How many people out there in Triple M land are on a benefit that they don't deserve?
Yeah.
How many people are on Newstart, the dole, and they have absolutely no intention of finding work at all? They do everything in their power to make sure that they can stay on the dole and not get work. I don't know how many there are, but here's a bloke, Tony. He's got two kids to look after. Their mother has gone. You heard the tragic circumstances surrounding that. He's also got two elderly parents he's looking after.
Mm. Unreal.
It's unreal, isn't it?
I mean, you look at all these protesters. They're protesters that are unemployed are blocking roads, stopping people who are employed from getting to work to earn a living.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's ironic.
Oh, well, look, you heard from some of the protesters who rang me last week. They believe that the end justifies the means. And whether an emergency vehicle is trying to get someone off to hospital, or even just a parent who is going to cop an extra fine because they're late to pick up their child from childcare because they couldn't get through the traffic because of the illegal protesters, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Crazy.
Crazy.
But it's
interesting, these protesters. I wonder if they've certainly got their point across, but have they done their cause more harm than good? We might talk about that this morning as well. Good on you, Dan.
No worries, mate. You take it easy.
You take it easy too. And I will talk to Heath. G'day, Heath.
G'day, Luke. How you doing, mate?
I'm very good. How are you?
Not bad. What was that all about?
That was bizarre, wasn't it? Unfortunately, the people on hold heard all that. The people in Radio Land didn't. So I'm sorry about that, Heath. But Tony, go away. Ring another radio station, Tony. Don't bother here again.
Far out.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, the reason why I was calling was I just wanted to mention quickly, saw something tonight online, which actually quite surprised me. I don't know if you saw it, but one of the Melbourne Storm players was involved in a bull over in Bali.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But I was thinking, I was reading a little bit more into it. They reckon that it probably most likely it was provoked, like being you know, Melbourne Storm, fellow Aussies over there, knowing who they are, and probably just kept pestering them, bothering them, while they're trying to enjoy their overseas holiday.
Yeah, look, I do worry about footballers that go on end of season breaks. It always ends in tears somewhere, doesn't it? Why haven't we learnt?
Exactly, I would not have a faintest idea why, but obviously provoked, and now he's going to most likely get the arse, the NRL and the Storm are both the Melbourne Storm have already mentioned, spoken about it, and they said they're not making any further comment while it's being investigated, so it's ongoing.
Yeah, I'll try and find the story, but it happens every year, doesn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't matter who it is. And someone, one of the greats, actually said this is the worst off-season incident that's ever happened in the NRL. It's happening all over again. So it's like deja vu
all over again.
Yep.
Can I just ask this? The football clubs, they must be nervous when they take a whole bunch of footballers overseas and they get on the drink. What sort of supervision do they provide, I wonder?
Probably not.
I was about to say that just before you start yelling through my ear, I was just about to say that.
Why do grown adults need supervision? Can they not contain the amount they drink? If you're not good on the drink, don't drink.
And you don't hear about women doing this, women's sports teams, do you?
I mean, you're a professional athlete. You're being paid to be an elite athlete. This is your profession. This is your career. Why do people not take it seriously? I mean, there are hundreds of young Australians that would give up everything to be in their position.
Yeah. Why do they need supervision? I don't know. Heath, Australians behaving badly overseas, and it seems to me that Bali is the number one destination. I guess Bali is always going to be in the news because it's cheap to get there and it's cheap to stay there.
Yep, exactly. But, they've lost me as a traveller when they bring in this new law about if you're not married and you have 6, you get thrown down.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
That's just a load of crap.
Heath, I don't think it's going to happen, mate.
Nah. But the reason why I am calling was you talk about the V8 supercars.
Yeah, what do you make of it?
To be honest, it's lost me as well because with that previous call that you mentioned, he lost interest too because it's both manufacturers are no longer making vehicles here in Australia. It's all overseas. Well, Ford's always been America, but then started over here. Well, General Motors. But it's just lost me. It's not the same like as it used to be. Like I still remember like back in 2002, 2004 when it was Holden versus Ford. That was interesting. That was damn. That was the atmosphere. But now it just doesn't really grab me as much.
It's not singing to you. It's going to be interesting to see what the ratings were. And they had over 200,000 people there. So that's a lot of people.
That is sure is, mate.
I think it's 220-something thousand. That's unbelievable.
It's absolutely incredible. Like, the numbers that they pack up there every year, it's just phenomenal. But there's a bit of outcry I was reading earlier this evening about towards the end how McLaughlin actually was blocking one of the vehicles from getting past when they had like one lap to go while they're behind the safety car. So that's caused a bit of a controversial stir.
Well, was there a protest? No.
No, it was just all declared clean. So, well, there's always going to be one or two teams out there who's going to have a bit of a talk about it. So,
anyway, it's done and dusted for another year and another Kiwi, eh?
Yes, exactly. Our old foes always getting the chocolates, but
yeah, and the Silver Ferns beat the Netballers by one goal. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. I was actually watching that when I was at the gym, being active at the same time.
There you are. All right, Heath. Listen, the Bathurst 1000, is it losing interest for you? As far as bums on seats are concerned, it was unbelievable. Over 200,000. It'll be interesting to see what the television ratings are. But let me know what you think. 1-333-533 is the telephone number. Just before I go back to more calls on all of this, I just want to play a quick grab from a chat that I had with our home improvement expert, Simon Stevenson. Now, Simon Stevenson, he joins me every Friday on the night shift Man Cave segment. He has been in media for many, many years now, talking about home improvement. He's been on tools for 35 years. And he brought to my attention this story over the weekend about the construction workers being able to go home if the mercury hits 28 degrees centigrade, humidity reaching 75%. This is in Queensland. Apparently the policy's been taken up by 140 commercial contractors and subcontractors across southeast Queensland after a campaign by the Construction, Forestry, Maritime, Mining and Energy Union, the CFMMEU, and that includes the $3.6 billion Queens Wharf project in Brisbane. Now, the policy calls for work to stop if the temperature hits 35 degrees already. They want to move this to 28 degrees. Here's a little of what Simon Stevenson had to say about this when I spoke to him earlier.
Oh, look, it's just crazy, Luke. I mean, there's parts of Australia get a lot hotter and a lot more humid than that. So does this start something where there's going to be parts of the country that'll say, well, what about us? We'll just not work at all. Like, it's out of control. This is unions getting involved. And look, it started off because of the death of a young man back in 2013, Glenn Newport, who collapsed from extreme heat conditions while working on a coal seam gas pipeline. But, you know, are we working smarter? This is the thing. When you go out onto a construction site now, you see them in long pants, long shirts, watching out for the sun, rightfully. But on a hot day, is that the right gear to be wearing? Should you be wearing cooler clothes?
The Master Builders Queensland Chief Executive is Grant Galvin, and he was saying on the weekend that the hot weather policy is ripe for exploitation. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I've worked in Las Vegas, extreme temperatures. We're talking 120 Fahrenheit, which is 48.8 degrees on a hot day. We just used to hydrate. Big bottles of water, lots of fluid. You know, make sure you're wearing a hat and keep out of the sun as much as you can.
But how many days a year downtime is this going to add up to? They're saying up to 2 weeks extra leave. There are places in Australia where it hits 28 degrees all the time and the humidity would be at least 75%. Does that mean that construction workers won't be doing any work?
Well, that's right. You think of Darwin and the Northern Territory.
North Queensland.
Absolutely. Once this thing goes into, you know, operation and it goes ahead, this could open the doors to many other things. And look, exploitation. If they think they're going to get a day off with pay because, whoops, it's got to 28 degrees, what's going to happen now?
Wow, exactly. All right, let's have a think about it. Simon, always good to talk to you. Thanks for that. Talk to you on Friday.
All right, mate. Take care.
Home improvement expert Simon Stevenson.